Jesus walks a path beside you. He has been there all along.
And he'll guide your feet when your step is weak and your strength is almost gone. Trust his word.
We'll go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 13, and as you're turning there, Genesis chapter 13, I always want to just say I'm very grateful for the opportunity to preach behind the pulpit of Pastor Angel, and very, very thankful for him, and very thankful for the love and investment that he's shown to my family since before I was born, and now to my own family, and my one child so far. I'm very, very grateful for him, and the opportunity to preach at Faith Baptist Church behind his pulpit is always something that I don't take lightly. And also, before I begin, we just had revival fires, and I get to FaceTime my folks quite a bit, and they always tell me to tell folks hi, and I can never remember, so I'm just telling you all, my folks say hello. And they're wondering how you're doing, and I've told them that you're doing good. So I hope you're doing good, because I get make sure you tell so-and-so, and I often failed to do that. And if you don't know who my folks were, they're glad you're doing good despite that. So they were asking about y'all, and I hope you're doing good, because that's what I told them. But Genesis, if you're not, just let them think you're doing good. It makes them happy. Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 10. We'll go ahead and stand as we, I'll read one scripture. I'll read Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 10. It says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." And the title of my message this evening is "One Chose to Leave, the Other to Cleave." One chose to leave, the other to cleave. And let's pray. Dear God, we ask that you meet with us this evening as we look at your word, as we gather around your word and study some of the truths in it. Lord, we ask that you meet with us. Lord, you've met with us so many times and so many occasions, Lord, and we ask that you do it again. Lord, we need you to meet with us, and if you're not here with us, then we might as well just go home. So, Lord, please be with us, Lord, and if there's something in the message that we need to grab a hold of, Lord, I pray that you'll illuminate it to us this evening. Lord, please speak through me and use me as just the vessel that you want me to be. Lord, we ask for you this evening in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Pardon, I'm trying not to cough as best I can, but it might sneak out every once in a while. But what we have here today in the verse that we're going to go to in just a moment is a tale of two choices. A tale of two choices. Now, the original thought, the seed thought for this message first came to me during our winter warm-up revival with Pastor Jerry Ross preaching. He preached a great message on the downfall of Job. I can't remember what night it was. I want to say it was Monday night. And the downfall of Job and his family because of the choices that he made. And in his introduction, he talked about Lot and Abraham separating. As we see in Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 7, it says, and there was strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And in verse 8 it says, and Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. And if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. And as he was giving his introduction, something hit me that I'd never thought about before. I always saw Lot, after reading this and hearing this story preached and reading it many times, I always looked at it as Lot having two options, left and right, east or west. And those were the only two options that I saw Lot having. And we know that he chose to go east to the well-watered plains and then eventually ended up in Sodom. And if he'd gone west, he might have avoided all that. Well, he paid the price for going east. But what I never realized until Pastor Ross was giving his introduction that day was that Lot had a third choice. He could have just chosen to stay with Abraham. Now, maybe I'm missing something, but I've read this a lot. I don't think I am. I don't see anywhere where God tells Abraham or God tells Lot that they need to separate. From everything that I read, it looks like just Abraham and Lot talked about this and they decided that it was time for them to separate. But what Brother Ross pointed out and what jumped out to me was Abraham had so much cattle, Lot had so much cattle, and there was strife. But in the words of Brother Ross, well, Lot, why not just get rid of some cattle? Why not just sacrifice a little bit of the cattle that you've accumulated and stick with Father Abraham? So in that statement, it caused me to think of another person who was given a similar command, who was in a similar situation, and was basically told the same thing, but made a different choice. And with that, let's go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. Right after 1 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. Lot had a choice to stay with Abraham, to work things out and figure out a way where he could stick with Abraham. And he was told by Abraham, his spiritual advisor, if you want to call him that, that it was time for them to split ways. Well, we see here in 2 Kings chapter 2, let's look at verse number 6. This is Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah said unto him, talking to Elisha, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. But look at the difference. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went. Elisha had been traveling with Elijah for, I don't know exactly how long, some places say up to 6 years. But when it came time for them to part and Elijah was to be taken up in the whirlwind to heaven, his response was different from Lot's. He said, I will not leave thee. I'm not leaving. And one chose to leave while the other chose to cleave. Now, there are some things that we can leave and it's okay. There are some things in life that as they come up, we deal with them and then we live with them and then we can move on from them. Then we can live without. Or it's maybe some things in our life we need to move on from. We need to live without. And there are some things that as time goes by, we might no longer need. But some things are more important. And some things cannot be replaced. Some things are necessary and vital for us to, once we have them, make sure we don't leave them, but cleave to them. You know, one thing that is in the news a lot right now when it comes to replacing something is artificial intelligence. I don't know if maybe I'm the only one that's into this, but I feel like it's everywhere right now, this topic of artificial intelligence replacing infrastructure. And machinery has replaced man in infrastructure for quite some time now. You can go to factories and see robots putting cars together. I remember I was in a grocery store one time, and this robot came down the aisle and was stocking the shelf, and I wanted to, like, punch it or something. It just kind of makes us a little uneasy. I was in a restaurant one time, and a robot was bringing someone their order. And, you know, similar to those robot vacuums, it was kind of like navigating itself around the restaurant. It brought someone their food. And AI, and schools are having to ban this artificial intelligent website because, you know, students will Young people, don't do this. But students will get an assignment, you know, read Black Beauty and give me a 2,000-word book report on Black Beauty. And they'll go to the website and type in, write a 2,000-word book report on Black Beauty, hit enter, and 45 seconds later, they're getting this grammatically correct, accurate book report, 2,000 words on Black Beauty, and they're turning it in. And I think most of our teachers and most of these teachers are smart enough to realize something's not quite right about this. You haven't turned a homework assignment in months. All of a sudden, you're turning in gold. But this message is brought to you by artificial intelligence, so... if there's any mistakes, don't blame me. So, you know, but there are some things that artificial intelligence just isn't going to be able to replace. There's some things that machinery just can't replace. And there's some things that you and I don't need to replace, that we don't need to move on from, that we don't need to leave, but we need to cleave. Lot and Elisha both had a choice. They made their choice, and it was clear that one of the choices produced a better result. And I want to highlight a few of these areas where each of these men and their decisions chose to leave or cleave, and perhaps you and I can glean from this. Number one, Lot chose to leave and Elisha chose to cleave to a godly influence. A godly influence. Now, I don't need to delve into this too much because you know that Abraham was a godly man. Abraham was a godly man. Genesis 17, the father of many nations. Hebrews 11, he's in the hall of faith for trusting God. 14 chapters are spent detailing the events surrounding Abraham and his life. And Abram or Abraham is mentioned in 280 verses in the Bible. And I think above all of those, proof that he's a no doubt, as you would call it, a first ballot man of God, is in James number 2, he's called the friend of God. If you have that title, I think you're a godly influence. You're a godly man, a no doubt man of God. Well, Elijah was a man of God as well, godly man, a prophet, saw many incredible works done with him and through him, fed by the ravens in the wilderness, intervened in the life of the widow and her son, who due to the miracle that God used through Elijah, was able to have the oil and meal supplied daily. You know the story. Challenged Baal's priest to the duel of gods and won in spectacular fashion. Elijah was a godly man. He was one that appeared to Jesus and the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. A godly, godly man. Yet, Elisha chose to stay with Elijah, while Lot chose to separate from Abraham. And I think if any one of us could talk to Lot, we would say, "Oh, Lot, you should have stayed with the man of God. Lot, you should have stayed with the man of God." And let's specifically just talk for a couple of moments about the man of God, the preacher. In Proverbs, it says, "In the multitude of counselors, there is safety." In Jeremiah, it says, "And I will give you pastors according to thine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." I bet Lot wished he would have stayed with the man of God. I'm sure Elisha never regretted cleaving to the man of God. In Ephesians, it says, "God has given some the gift of pastoral leadership for what? For the perfecting of the saints." Never leave, but cleave to the man of God. Man of God. It would be certainly unwise for us to not cleave to godly pastoral influence. it would be very unwise for us not to cleave or to leave godly pastoral influence. God has given us a great pastor. We have a tremendous pastor, a great man, and a great man of God. One pleasure I have when going out soul winning is this is part of my, for lack of a better word, spiel. This is my spiel when I'm out soul winning, and I'm bragging on my church to someone as I'm telling them about our church. I get to, with pleasure and with honesty, say that we don't just have a good preacher, but we have a good man. We don't have just a good pastor, but we have a good man. And I'm grateful for that. But we can like our preacher, we can like our pastor, we can like the man that he is and not cleave to his influence. It is important. It is wise. Lot would tell you that it was wise. It is wise. Elisha would tell you that it is wise to cleave to godly influence, especially in a man of God. How do you do that? Well, you show up for church when the doors are open. How do you do that? Well, you pray for your pastor. You talk with your pastor. Hey, we can like his preaching, but to get that godly influence from him, it's not a bad idea to stick around a couple of minutes before and after church and shake his hand. Young people, follow the example of your pastor. Amen. Lot chose to follow Abraham, but for some reason then chose to leave him. Maybe it was the mistakes that he made in the chapter before. If you read chapter 12, at the end of it talks about Abraham lying to Pharaoh about his wife and then getting caught. And both the best of men are men at best. Maybe Lot thought that since Abraham made a mistake that he knew better than him. He said, what is Abraham doing? Why is he lying about, what's he doing? Why? Maybe he's not so smart after all. Well, he made a mistake. Yes, he did. You know what? Man, Uncle Abraham, he's no good. He's a hypocrite. Well, maybe Lot should have given his uncle another chance. I don't know if that's the reason why he decided to separate. I don't know if that was in the back of his mind when he decided to part ways and pitch his tent towards Sodom. But man, I wish he would have stayed. I wish he would have stayed with that godly influence instead of separating. If we go back, I think Lot chooses to stay with Abraham. We should be more careful than Lot and hold in high regard strong godly influences. Why would we not cleave to the godly counsel that we hear? Hey, why would Lot leave Abraham? I mean, what? This is the friend of God. This is Abraham, Father Abraham. Our children sing songs about this man. Why would you separate from this guy? But he did. He separated from the godly influence. And why would we choose to separate ourselves, whether physically or just mentally, or whether physically leaving or staying home or mentally or spiritually in our hearts, separate ourselves, not cleave to the godly influence that we get from this pulpit on a weekly and a consistent basis? That would be unwise. That would be unwise. And godly influence can come from other places too. But no matter where it comes from, it should be held in high regard. Young people, listen to the godly counsel of your folks. Do it. Do it. Listen to the godly counsel of your folks. I don't know where I would be. I don't know where I would be if I had chosen not to cleave to the godly counsel of my folks. I remember Brother Hiles, I don't remember Brother Hiles preaching this message. I was probably negative 15 at the time. But I remember hearing a message from Brother Hiles talking about how the great truths that he learned of life, the great truths that he learned just about daily life living, he didn't learn in a secular book. He didn't learn in Bible seminar, but he learned sitting at the feet of his godly mother. And I, as a teenager hearing that, I said, man, I should stop rolling my eyes when they tell a story. I should stop rolling my eyes when we're working in the yard and he starts going on about how mowing the grass is a microcosm of life. And I'm like, okay, whatever. But you know what? You know what? There's some good stuff in there. There's some good stuff in there. I realized that I should probably pay attention. I should probably listen when we're driving down the road and I just want to talk about anything other than what he's talking about. But I said, you know what, maybe I should pay attention. I'm glad I did. I don't know where I would be if I didn't have godly parents that dropped some godly counsel. Young people, listen to it. Don't shrug your shoulders. Don't roll your eyes. Don't just, that's for a different time. That's for a different era. Boomers, pick up on the godly counsel. To young couples and young parents, let's not be too proud to admit that we might not know everything there is about parenting. Amen. We might not know everything that we should know about family finances or many of the other things that we have to go through. You know, people used to go to church and ask folks at church their advice on these topics, but now people are going to vlogs and blogs and unspiritual social media influencers and online articles from worldly carnal people. You know, the Bible talks about older ladies helping the younger ladies, and I think that applies to men too, but we have to do our part in wanting the information. We have to do that part and be willing to listen. Don't shy away. Hold godly counsel in high regard. Don't leave it, but cleave to it. Elisha stayed with Elijah. Miracles upon miracles were performed with Elisha. And I think that's heavily due to the fact that he held in high regard the godly counsel. He said, Elijah, where you're going, I'm going. Where you're going, I'm going. You've helped me so much to this point. And I'm not sticking anywhere else except right by your side. I'm not leaving, but I'm going to cleave. Number two, I see godly blessings. Godly blessings. Elisha was blessed heavily. He got to see God work in incredible ways on a regular basis by being with Elijah. And that is a huge blessing. That's a great thing to see. I hope that we would not get tired of seeing God work on a regular basis. And man, it is a blessing when a young person in the afternoon gets saved. It is a blessing when 13 visitors come and 5 people get saved in the Spanish. And although it happens, thankfully, on a somewhat regular basis, that is a huge blessing. That is a huge blessing. I had the opportunity to travel on tour with Providence on their singing group for 2 summers. And I tell you what, that's not happening everywhere. It's not happening everywhere. I remember being a kid and hearing evangelists and missionaries come through and say, this isn't happening everywhere. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, it probably is. Then I got to travel a little bit myself. And, man, I'm very thankful that we get to see the blessing of seeing God work. That's a blessing. Before Elijah was taken up into heaven, he asked Elijah, hey, what can I do for you before I go? Elijah didn't ask for anything carnal. I don't know if he, like Solomon, could have asked for money and God would have given it. I don't know what he could have asked for and gotten it. I don't know how Elijah was able to give him a double portion of his spirit as it is. God must have helped him with that. But he said, I want a double portion. He said, I don't want to be half the man you are. I want to be double the man that you were. That's a blessing. Imagine if Elijah would have stayed behind. Imagine if he would have said, hey, you know what? You're right. I'll stay back here. Man, I've been really blessed up to this point. I'm content with the blessings that I have. So, yep, go on ahead. Hey, I'll see you. I'll see you on the other side. I'll stay back here. He never would have gotten that double portion. He never would have gotten the blessing of having a double portion of his spirit. He said, no. I've seen God use you and I've been blessed. I've seen God work in your life, Elijah, and it's been a blessing. So I don't want to miss out on another blessing by going anywhere except where you are. Lot missed out. Lot was blessed. Lot was blessed, it seems. He stuck by his godly uncle. He had flocks. He had herds. He had tents. His substance was great. And the Bible says that he was a just man, and perhaps that's why he was able to gather some blessings. But I think a large part of his blessings that he gathered was because he was by his uncle. His uncle was obviously in the will of God, doing the will of God, and he chose to follow him when Abraham said, hey, we're moving. Where are we moving to? We're moving. Lot chose to travel with him, and Lot was blessed, and I think a large part of that is because he had faith to follow Abraham as he followed God. He was so blessed that things became too big for both of them to share the same space, and as I said before, I feel like he could have worked some things out. Maybe he could have downsized a few tents, sold a couple of his sheep, found out something that he could have done. Despite the fact that sticking with his uncle had worked so well for him, he decided to leave. And he left when trouble came. He left when the conflict arose. And might I say, we should be careful not to leave the place of God's blessing just because some conflict arises. Conflict itself is not a good reason to leave a situation. If leaving due to conflict is a valid reason to leave, then Noah would have left the ark half done after being criticized. David would have left after Saul tried to kill him a couple of times. Daniel would have left his prayer closet after it was outlawed. Joseph would have left an expecting Mary after he got some sideways glances. Paul would have left his missions works, and Christ would have left us and skipped the cross if leaving because of conflict was a valid reason to dip out. Leaving conflict itself is not a good reason to leave. Lot should have been a man about it. Lot should have been a man about it, talked things out with Abraham, and done what he needed to do to rectify the situation and stay with where the blessings were. We have conflicts in our lives. We need to be careful about not running at the first sign of conflict, or the second sign, or the third sign of conflict, but sticking things out. Don't leave the blessings God's given you because of conflict. If you're in a place of blessing, whether it's because of your own merits that God's blessing you with, or you've settled in a place that God wants you to be, cleave to it. Cleave to it. Don't leave it, but cleave to it. When Lot left, he lost his blessings. Let's go to Genesis chapter 19. We'll kind of, I meant to tell you to keep your place in Genesis. We'll kind of bounce back and forth. Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 15. I'll start reading there as soon as I get there. It says, "And when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men lay hold on his hand, and upon the hands of his wife, and the hand of his daughters, and Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city." And then in verse number 24, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven." All he was able to leave with, all those possessions that he had, those herd, those cattle, those tents, the great substance was lost. And all he had was four people, which by the time they escaped was three people left. Don't you think he wish he stayed with his uncle? Don't you think after he's looking in every at his home, everything that he owned is ashes burning there? He thought, man, I should have just given up some sheep. I should have just given up some of my herd. Should have just told the herdsmen, you know, just quit bickering. Let's figure this out. I should have cleaved to where the blessings were. See, the bottom line is Elisha was willing to sacrifice his God-given blessings for something more, while Lot sacrificed something more to hold on to his God-given blessings. You know, God blesses us. We can't get so content with the blessings that God's given us up to this point that we sacrifice what God's got next for us. Just because God gives us blessings, we don't need, just because we might have a good job and we might have been blessed with a nice home and the kids are growing up and things seem to be looking good, and yes, there's struggles and hard times, but things are looking pretty good. Well, don't leave for the well-watered plains. Don't leave, pitch your tent somewhere else because there's possibly a new opportunity, whether physically or mentally. God knows our address. He knows our phone number. And if he needs to get a hold of us, he certainly can. But go where the blessings have been. Hey, if you're in a place and God's blessing in that place, stay in that place. And if some conflicts arise, don't leave that place. If a new opportunity arrives, don't leave that place. Stay where God's blessings are. Leave. Don't leave them, but cleave to them. And then next we see God's presence. One chose to leave, the other chose to leave to God's presence. God was with Abraham. We know that to be true. He talked with him regularly. He was a friend of God. And I think you'd have to be a friend of God and talk with God regularly to be willing to move your whole house and home to a place that God hasn't even revealed to you yet. So we know that we can assume and know pretty confidently that God was close to Abraham. But I don't need to lay out to you that the presence of God was not on Lot. That's very clear by the decisions of where he chose to live, by the lifestyle that he apparently was living with, and the choices that we see him make. Lot could have chosen to stay close to Abraham, who was close to God, but he chose to leave. Oh, he had lots of cattle, but he didn't have the presence of God. Oh, he had the well-watered plains, but he didn't have the presence of God. Oh, he had many possessions, but he didn't have the presence of God. Oh, he ended up with a nice place to live, a house near the gate where the people of affluency in the city of Sodom lived, but he didn't have the presence of God. Oh, he ended up with a family. The kids all grew up and got married, but he didn't have the presence of God. Hey, they got to enjoy the pleasures of Sodom, but they didn't have the presence of God, and that pleasure did not last. He was so close to it, but he left it. Now, we see that God was with Elijah. He saw God work in many, many ways, and Elisha saw it too. I don't know how many of the stories that we read about, I don't know what Elijah was able to see God do with Elijah, but we know that Elisha saw God work through Elijah in many scenarios, many situations. Maybe not all of them are in Scripture, but Elisha saw it. Elisha saw the presence of God on Elijah. Elisha saw it and wanted it. He decided that he wasn't going to go anywhere else. He could have left. Let's go to flip back to 2 Kings. Now that we're back in Genesis, I meant to tell you to keep something in 2 Kings. So hopefully you're figuring me out. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 3. It says, "And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, but it seems like he says yeah there, just by his response. Yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace, otherwise known as shut your mouth. Verse number 5, "And the sons of the prophets were at Jericho, came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace." He could have chosen to stay with his, for lack of a better term, Bible college buddies and just stay with the rest of the crowd. But he said, no. No, hold your peace. Hold your peace. Wherever the presence of God is, and right now it seems to be clearly on Elijah. Wherever the presence of God is, I'm sticking next to that. I'm not leaving anywhere. I'm cleaving to where the presence of God is. He could have chosen less conflict. His spiritual leader, Elijah himself, says, hey, you need to tarry back here while I go forward. And man, if I was Elisha, that would have been a tough one to say no to. If my spiritual leader that I've been following for 6 years and I'm his protege and he's been training me and he gives me a command, yes, sir, okay, I'll stay here. But even when Elijah asked him to stay, he said, sorry, sir, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying where the presence of God is. The presence of God is with you. God told me to stick with you. If this is where I can find the presence of God, I'm not going anywhere. And then let's look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 7. "And the 50 men of the son of the prophets went and stood a view far off, and they too stood by Jordan." So the sons of the prophets they didn't choose to go. They chose to stay back. "And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. So they too went over on dry ground." Let's skip to verse 11. "And it came to pass, as they still went on, they talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it." Let's go to verse number 13. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And verse number 14, "And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" So he sees Elijah take this mantle, smite the waters with it. They walk across on dry ground. Now, he's seen Elijah do a lot of things, but I got to think, as they're walking across on dry ground, he's thinking, this is incredible. Man, I'm so glad I didn't stay back with those other 50 guys. I'm glad I chose to stay. I'm walking across on dry ground right now. And then he gets to talk with Elijah, talk about getting a double portion. He gets to see Elijah be taken up in a whirlwind. He sees the chariots. He sees all of it. It must have blown his mind. But now he's standing there alone. Elijah's gone. He's followed him. He's wanted the presence of God, and he saw that in Elijah. So he stuck with him to this point. And now Elijah's gone. He's standing there alone. He grabs that mantle, picks it up, smites the water, and what does he say? He says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And I like to think that he heard in his ear, "I'm right here with you, Elisha. I'm right with you. You chose to stay with the man of God. You chose to stay with godly counsel. You chose to cleave to the godly blessings. And you've chosen up to this point to cleave to godly presence. And because of that, now you have my presence. Now my presence is on you. I bet he's grateful that he didn't choose to leave, but he chose to cleave. And we know the rest of the story. He goes on to do exactly what is recorded, exactly double the amounts of great works and miracles that Elijah was able to do. I bet if Lot could go back, he'd say, I shouldn't have left. I shouldn't have left. I should have cleaved to him. I should have cleaved to where the presence was. I should have cleaved to where those blessings were coming from. I should have cleaved to that godly counsel. So the question is, are you, am I, are we going to leave or are we going to cleave? Sometimes this is a life-changing decision that we have to make, but I'm talking about it in the sense of on a daily basis, mentally, spiritually, in your heart. Are we going to choose to leave or cleave godly counsel? Have you been cleaving to the godly counsel that comes from the pulpit? Have you been cleaving from godly sources rather than carnal sources? Have you, have I ask myself these questions. Have I been cleaving to godly blessings? Where are we going to find the blessings of God? We're going to find them at church. We're going to find them in our Bible. We're going to find them in our prayer closet. We're going to find them by being separated from the world. We don't need to leave those things. What we need to do is not just leave those, not leave those things, but cleave to them. Cleave to separation. Cleave to your Bible. Cleave to the church. Have we been cleaving? Have I been cleaving to God's presence? I love the verse in Exodus 33 and the song that comes from it. If your presence go not with me, I don't want to go. You know the famous story of Charles Spurgeon crossing the street, and then halfway through he stopped in the middle of the crosswalk. Cars are going past him. And then he just started walking again, and someone asked him why he did that. He said, for a moment I felt that the presence of God was not on me, and I didn't want to take another step until I knew it was back. Might that be our attitude? I ask myself, how many times do I go through half a day, a whole day, and just so busy with life that, I'll be honest, thought of, am I in the presence of God, doesn't even cross my mind. I don't want to leave God's presence just because I'm too busy with other stuff. I don't want to leave God's presence because he's headed that way and I'm so busy working on this thing. No, I want to say, hey, wherever you're going, God, I'm going right with you. Wherever your blessings are, wherever the godly counsel is, I'm going to stick right by it. Some things cannot replace. There's no AI for godly counsel, for godly blessings. Definitely no AI for godly presence. Let's choose to not to leave, but to cleave to the things of God. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the truths of your word. Lord, I ask that you bless us this evening as we have a quick invitation, Lord, that you'll just use, if there was any part of the message that spoke to a heart in the room today, Lord, I pray that you'll work with us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to understand what it is that you are extending to us in godly counsel, extending to us in godly blessings, extending to us in your presence. If there'd be someone in this room that would say, Brother Andrew, I know 100% for sure that I'm saved. I know that I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. If you would just raise your hand in testimony of that, you can put your hands down. If you'd say, Brother Andrew, I don't know 100% for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. If that's you, just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. If that's you, just pray for you. If you found yourself, like I have, thinking about this message as God's worked on my heart in preparation for it, if I found yourself doing a little bit more leaving than cleaving, let's get back to appreciating the counsel, blessing, and presence of God like we should. And we'll stand as the piano plays. I invite you to come if the Lord spoke to your heart on any of these topics. Thank you, folks, for your faithful attendance. And I know it's a blessing to Pastor's heart whenever his people are where they're supposed to be, even when he's gone. But please be in prayer for him the next couple of days. I know he's got a couple of different speaking engagements, Monday and Tuesday, and then coming back Wednesday. And then also don't forget Miss Lena Parks with that operation tomorrow for the tumor in her lung at 7:30. And as you think about that, keep her in your prayers. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? All right. Well, thank you all very much.